Good morning. I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. I'd like to read the first 7 verses. Colossians 3. The scripture says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." Now, one of the most important things that we do when we're considering a passage of Scripture is finding out to whom is the author writing. In the first verse of the book of Colossians, the Scripture says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae." Now, when we consider to whom this passage is written, we then find ourselves sensitive to the exhortation. The Scripture says, considering that first verse in chapter 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ." Now, there are some things that are assumed. We assume, then, that Christ is risen. We assume that a man is in Christ. That is, that God is dealing with the man in the Lord Jesus Christ, considering Christ only to be his surety, chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ, crucified, Paul says, with Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, having been risen, the Scripture says, we are therefore risen with him. If he is risen, then he had to have died. If he died, then we died. If he died, then sin was upon him, because he himself was without sin. That sin had to have belonged to another. We therefore conclude that if Christ has died for sin, for a people, therefore there is a people that is without the debt, the charge, the penalty, the wages of sin upon them. God the Father has been satisfied. Having raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, all the demands of absolute perfection have been met. There is no remembrance of sin toward those for whom Christ has died. All that Christ has earned in his humanity is charged toward the believer. Then seek those things which are above. By nature, we find things here upon this earth with no effort. These things that we are to seek, they're hidden from the world. They are at the right hand of God with him, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. What are these things that we are to seek? Why, it's the spiritual blessings that's found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pardon, peace, righteousness, life, and glory. He is seated on the right hand of God in human nature with honor, having completed the work of redemption and has entered into his rest. Truly, God has been satisfied. How is this? Isaiah 53, 10 and 11 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." He, that is the Lord God, hath put him, Christ, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. Why is that? It's by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Set, then, your affection on things above, and not on things on the earth. Set your affection. This is something that, by nature, we cannot do. For us to be able to set our affection on things above, He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, by His blessed and Holy Spirit, must captivate the heart and draw it to seek those things above. He constrains His people by His love. These things above are all of grace. Mind them, seek them, think on them, favor them, things that breathe of Him. Set your affection on those things which pertain to Him, His grace, His honor, His majesty. This is something that only a believer, one risen with Christ, desires to do. Unless the affection is set on things above, they will never be sought in a proper manner. All things pertaining to the saints' good are above, and not on things of the earth. That is, trying to set forth rules and regulations and attempting to maintain by our own works a righteousness before Almighty God. The things that are above always pertain to grace. Things of the earth are always concerning works for a justification before God. When we speak of works, it's concerning those things that are done to merit salvation. For ye are dead, that is, the law's demand has been executed upon all those for whom Christ died, for they died in Him. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, what a sound of security! There's nothing so hidden, so secure, as the life of God within the soul, hidden from the world, and often hidden in a sense from the believer himself. Do you see the depth of faith? Do you perceive the depth of life, that is, spiritual life, gracious life, a life of faith on Him, a life of communion with Him, which is not like a lake that is beheld in open view, but it's like a well of living water springing up into life. The best part of our life is that which is often least seen, the secret cries, the groans, the fears, the trials, the longing after Him. This is life given to them. God's people have a right to it by His work, by His promise. It's been given them in Christ. It's hid. Men are strangers by nature to this spiritual life, strangers to the gospel. Eternal things are hidden from the natural man, unseen, can't be perceived, and often they're seen very dimly by God's people, the saints, the elect, but they do see them. Paul says we see through a glass darkly. Oh, these things are hidden with Christ. Spiritual life is with Him. It can't be lost. Eternal life is deposited into His hand by the Father. It's with Christ in God. Christ is in God. My, can we perceive the depth of that statement? The Son of God in the Father, and the Father in the Son, both are in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in them, one in nature, one in power, one in glory. This union, which is perfect, is the foundation of the security of God's elect. How safe is our life? It's hidden, locked up with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Christ is the author of spiritual life. He is the fountain from which it springs. He is the object on which the saints live. I am the way, the truth, and the life, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. He is their eternal life. It is in him and given forth by him. At this time, Christ, the life of believers, is hidden from the world. He was manifested in the flesh, departed out of this world, and now remains in heaven, hidden from all but his people. But before long, he shall be revealed. In that day, it won't be business as usual. He'll come in the clouds, seen of all, terror and confusion to some, joy and salvation to his people. He'll be seen in his exalted human nature, the judge of all the earth, clothed in majesty, authority, and power, the Son of God, clothed in his excellence. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That is, God's people shall appear in perfect holiness, having on their wedding garment the robe of Christ's righteousness. They'll have the glory of God upon them in soul and body. All those that have been made to set their affection on things above and not on things of the earth. If these things are so to you by faith, then mortify in your members that which is upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That is to say, the lustful desires of our old nature. The work of mortification is not perfected in an instant. And truthfully, it's never completed in this life. It is a daily task to put down evil thoughts and desires. The Lord's people are human, and they have a real struggle with the flesh. But He gives grace and mercy for their need. The fact that we are exhorted to mortify these fleshly appetites indicate that they truthfully still exist. The last two verses of our passage indicate that this was the way of life of all God's redeemed saints. This was the passion of their heart, but the heart of stone that reigned has been removed from that position of total control, and a new heart reigns, that which gives honor unto Christ. If you would like to hear more of this message of the free and sovereign grace of Almighty God, come visit us at West Harpeth Grace Church Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. And until next week at this time on this station, thank you for listening.